Welcome. This is week 4 of Working with the Law with transformational life coach, Christy Carotti.
Okay, hello and welcome. Today we will be exploring the law of attraction. But first, let's start by setting the tone of gratitude. So move to that place of something that you are grateful for. And I hope that you have some kind of notebook that you write your notes from this class in and that you do keep track of your gratitudes and proud of. They're really great to, look back over and move yourself into that high vibration when maybe you are not feeling so in alignment with high vibration and you want to create and generate that. And today I'm grateful for chiropractors. So for my chiropractor, she's wonderful. I just love that I've been on such a journey with her watching, and she's watched me just turn from barely a crawler to now running out in the world. And so she's been an integral part of that, holding the vision for my body and my healing when I couldn't hold that, and having the skills and techniques of how to bring my body into alignment, which, of course, is what we do with our thought as well. And what I do, like a chiropractic coach, in a sense, helping keep our thoughts in alignment. And then the thing that I was proud of this morning I was proud of the study that I do and for this work and staying in this work of really practicing, going deeper with a deeper understanding of the laws and the principles. So today we're going to talk about the law of attraction. Last week we talked about the law of supply, and the law of supply, in the law of supply, we learned that everything is available to us. It's all around us all the time. Okay, and through quantum physics, we know this. Through quantum physics, we can experience that down at the very basis where there's vibration, the string theory, that everything exists and we just need to hit the vibration of our desire, of our greater becoming, of our bringing good to the world, and that vibration will move to match our vibration and therefore come into being. Then the quarks create the particles, create the atoms, create the molecules, make that experience. So we can look at it from all kinds of ways. But first, to know that the supply is all around us. This is an unlimited universe. The only thing that limits us is our thought, our beliefs. And so that's what we're here to work on in this mastery program, is practice, 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 repetition. The law of attraction. This is the next step, right? So now we understand that everything is available to us. And now how do we bring that supply into our experience? So form a clear and well-defined mental picture of what you want. Do not specify its particular form or how it shall come. We've talked about that many times before, how it shall come. But simply desire firmly and gently the greatest amount of good in that direction. Desire firmly and gently the greatest amount of good in that direction. Avoid a tensed state of mind or any condition of strain or anxiety. Okay, so we'll talk more about that. It is better to do your mental picturing, maybe even in odd moments when you're quiet and you're in a more quiet, restful condition. But let the idea or plan of good unfold into a vivid mental picture, much the same as though it were a moving picture upon a screen. Do not force the thought. Pressure causes congestion and confusion. The calmer, the more peaceful we are, the better the result. So the main thing here is to hold the thought. Then proceed to nourish the desire or want with calm, confident conviction that what you seek will come. And also what you seek is already here. It's here. Now, this is really key. It's right where you are, just as a different frequency. And your connecting to it actually brings it into time. Now, when I was in graduate school, I began doing this. I had not been taught to do, to create a vision, to hold a thought, but I somehow, well, I had by my grandmother when I was young, but then, you know that whole story. But anyway, I began imagining being in a relationship with someone who was caring and kind and adored me, supported me, loved me. And I just started being in that frequency. And I remember one time, I worked a lot in plaster. I did sculpture and plaster. And I remember one time I was just like covered from head to toe in plaster, just done a very large piece. And I was at my studio at my graduate school, and I was walking down to the restroom to wash up. And I said, it's a good thing you can't see me now, thinking of this energy, this frequency. And I heard clear as day in a voice I recognized, don't know how or where I recognize it, says, you are always beautiful to me. And I felt it, and I sensed it. It was this frequency, this vibration. And I swear that when I met Jerry, I recognized that voice. Now, I didn't recognize Jerry right off the bat, but I did recognize his voice. Someday, maybe I'll tell you that story. But it was a very interesting thing. It was really his voice that I recognized first. Then all of my beliefs and my limitations, my stereotypes of what I thought I was looking for in a relationship on the outer appearance didn't match up, but the voice resonated. But that's another story, because that was all about my not believing that I was good enough to have good, kind people in my life. But it was a journey, but as you know, we are coming up upon our 25th wedding anniversary. So there was something to that. So how we bring the supply into our lives is through the law of attraction, and it's by holding the thought. And our desire hooks us up to our good, and our expectation draws it in. And, you know, Bob Proctor used the image of going fishing. You know, you get a fish on the hook, but unless you reel it in, you don't have the result. So we just want to get in harmony with the frequency of our desire. And so just like I did in creating the frequency of my relationship 25 years ago, that was like 27 years ago, we need to create the frequency. And we want it to become normal to us receiving our good. You know, a lot of times people think, oh, it's just luck, or luck comes around to me once in a while, but we want to create the attracting of good in our lives to be normal. It's normal to receive our good. And Mary talks about it being like a magnet. Whatever we imagine in mind, whatever we expect and think about, will tend to bring into our lives the things and conditions that are in harmony therewith. Science has convincingly proven the existence and the constant operation of the law of mental attraction. For this reason, each one of us should be doubly careful about how and what we think. This is what's so important, and this is why we pay attention to what we're paying attention to. We notice what we're noticing. because our predominant mental attitude is the primary cause of most everything that comes into our lives. And the sooner we realize this truth, the sooner we will begin to improve our lives and progress. Now, one of the things about science, a real simple image of this is drops of water. You know, drops of water attract drops of water, right? If they get even kind of close, then they form a larger drop. This is how the law of attraction works. We create the vibration of what we want. We put ourselves in, first of all, that frequency, and second of all, the expectancy, and then it will attract it, just like one water drop attracts the other water drop. And the law of attraction is a secondary law to vibration. So one of the ways that we can attract is by looking at vibration, tuning ourselves to that vibration. It's just like a tuning fork. What is it that we want to bring into our experience? What is it that we want to image and create through the mental images that we create? That's us as a tuning fork. We are a tuning fork, and whatever we think is what we create. So you want to know what you're thinking, take a look around you. Are you creating a life of flow and freedom of and abundance, or are you creating constriction and limited time? So he said, be doubly careful about how and what you think. So it's just like creating a wedding, okay? First you imagine it, then things draw to you. Yes, you move towards them, just like reeling the fish in, you move towards it, but you also can do it with calm confidence, knowing that you have created the image and you take the steps in the direction of, okay? So there's three steps in the law of attraction. The first one is interest. What you give special attention to. What are you interested in? Okay, and if you doubt yourself, then you make it harder for this to come to you. So part of this is being so clear on your interest, what is interesting to you, what you are putting your interest in, that you do this through repetition. Always coming back to, what is it that I'm interested in? What is it that I'm interested in? What is it that I'm interested in? So that you rewire your brain through repetition. And, you know, I believed this, but it wasn't strong enough in me when I was younger, because when I went off to middle school and high school, I started to believe that this stuff wasn't true, and I started to doubt myself. We get so interested in what doesn't work. This is like the habit. This is the normal of our world, is like getting interested in the news, what doesn't work. And somehow there is this like pull to almost like proving that it doesn't work, proving that we can't have the life we love. And really, we want to become strong enough in our resolve through our repetition that it doesn't matter what's said around us. It doesn't matter if there's a recession. It doesn't matter if somebody says it hasn't been done. You know, it was Ford that said, I want to create a combustion engine. And his scientist said, this can't be done. He says, I know it can be done because I can think about it. And he got interested in it. So that's the first step in the law of attraction, is our interest. What are we interested in? And then the second is, what are we putting our attention on? So the interest is the thing, and the attention is the action. What is it that we are conscious of? What is it that we're putting, actively moving into creating our attention? So let me read this. I once heard that the only way the universe knows where our intention is, also our interest, is where our attention is. So we place our attention, whether it's for good or ill, the universe responds perfectly to the law. Where we place our attention, therein lies our intention, whether it's for failure or success. And Mary says, let's move to success. So we really want to focus on our attention. That's the active mode of our interest. Then the third is to expect, to be in the place of expectancy. This is the next step, the next active form of attention. And I loved this concept that there's this only consciousness like this, that I only have what I can see. So we think that just because there's something that we can see, that's the only thing that we can have. And really, we want to move into that place of expectancy. I think of it as like being a vessel, to just expect that vessel to be filled, that sense of expectancy. So I expect good. I expect this result. I expect this goodness to come into my experience. And it's just like when we approach anything that we are wanting to attract into our lives, we go, just like the story we talked about with the high jump bar. You know, we don't approach the high jump bar with our failures in mind. We approach the high jump bar with full expectancy of jumping over that high jump bar. So step number one, interest. What do you have a special attention for? And then move into the activity part of it. And that is, what are you giving that attention to? And the third is expectancy. Be that vessel for that thing to come into. Be open and receptive for that. So the last thing that I wanted to talk about here is what Hollywell says. When we charge our thoughts so firmly with the idea that there are no failures, then we expect success. Now, of course, we don't want to talk about, oh, there are no failures. We want to move into, we expect success. Failure, as Edison said, was just gathering information. So if we can change our thought of failure into gathering information, and Mary says, now this doesn't mean that there won't be apparent failures. I mean, things do happen that we consider a failure, but when we have a broader understanding, a greater view, and more harmony with the law of attraction, what we understand is that everything happens can be used for a greater good, or it's information. So it's an interesting time in my life, an interesting place to be in our family right now. Tomorrow is the anniversary of when we lost Anna. And what's been interesting about looking at it now 2 years later, about a month ago, we noticed that Aaron had got himself a new iPhone case, and it had pictures of Anna, his sister, on it, and her soccer number. And before, he wouldn't even talk about or acknowledge it. And so it was really a sense of coming into healing. And for a while, we've been talking about getting a peach tree to plant in her honor. And Friday, we went and picked out a peach tree, and we were going to dig the hole and plant it over the weekend. And Aaron said, no, let's do it Wednesday. That's the actual anniversary. But what was even more interesting was at the beginning of the month, when Aaron has a calendar on his wall that we just had stuck up there, so he had a calendar. It was from our bird store where we get bird feed, and it's on birds. And we turned it over to the month of April, and the bird of this month, April, was called Anna's hummingbird. And Aaron says, that's spooky. And, you know, for me, what I've been able to see is that now, 2 years later, I mean, one of the most difficult events in my life, and I know in Aaron's life, and now 2 years later, it's almost like her voice is coming through hummingbirds. So when we were out looking for the peach tree, Aaron points and he says, Mom, look, and points, and there's a hummingbird. And this is not something that we thought into becoming. This was just a fact that happened out in the world. And now we get to choose, after the healing process, we get to choose what we do with that information. And for me, I choose to see Anna's hummingbird as her beginning to speak to us. And so to open up my ears and listen to what she now has to say to us, a higher source, something that we can use for the healing or the good of others. So the law of attraction, what's most important is to be doubly careful about what we think so that we can create a life that we love living. There's a whole other law that is not talked talked about in the Holywell stuff, and it's something that's been I've been studying more of and wanting to share with you is they actually call it the law of gender, but it's easier understood as the law of gestation. And the law of gender has to do with the yin and yang and of things. But the law of gestation, which is part of that, is the idea that things do take time. And time is an interesting concept because we have created time in this frequency that we live in this plane that we live in, so that we can interact with each other. That's what time is created for, is so that somehow we can meet each other, see each other, be on the same frequency as each other, run into each other, mm-hmm. have thoughts together. You know, so time is really only a part of a tool that we've created. However, we live in this world that has time. We live in this world that has a law of gestation. And that is the idea that when you plant a seed, it does take time and nurturing for it to grow. And in looking back at my history, I realized how many times I probably went digging up the seed to see if it was growing, or I just went, see, it's not going to happen. When it was happening at some frequency, at some level, and I just could not move to that level. And I think of how many things I walked away from saying, oh, that's a not it. When it didn't matter whether it was a it or a not it, did it bring me life? Yeah. Was there good in it for others? Yes, it was a perfectly, you know, the camp program is one too, as an example. The camp facility that Jerry and I wanted to build up in Oregon, you know, it was like we worked and worked and worked at that. And did we align ourselves? Were we the vessel? To a degree, but then we bought into the status quo of the people around us. And this is one of the things, you know, I heard Bob Proctor say the other day, be so passionate about something that it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about it. And that's one of the tools, passion, that we can use to really keep all of that erroneous thought out. So I think that it's important to have something inputted, you know, a direction to be moving in. We can be grateful that we had that vision to move towards. We can always come back to the five questions. Does it give me life? Does it align with my core value? Does it cause me to grow? Is there good in it for others? This was an experience I had one time. I went to New York. I was in my undergraduate degree. I started out in fashion design, believe it or not. And my mom took me to New York. And I investigated, and this was before the internet, I want you to know. I dug up people to go visit and talk to, design houses, manufacturers. I had scheduled myself like 5 or 6 appointments in various things to go check out what the fashion industry was all about. And I took a portfolio. I didn't even know how to put together a portfolio because the fashion design program I was in at Oregon State didn't teach you any of that. It was basically sewing classes. And I got on a plane with my mom, and we went to New York, and I visited this big manufacturer. And he said, when you come to town, I'll take you under my wing. I'll help you find a place to live. I'll get you connected. Just contact me when you get here. I went to a design house. They looked at my portfolio. They said, well, this isn't really how you present a portfolio, but your work is great. When you get through school, contact us. We'll give you a job. Every place I went, it was like door open, door open, door open. And I got on the plane and I went, wow, it feels like I already accomplished that. And I went, does it cause me to grow? And sure, I would have grown in a direction. But it was so, there was already a feeling of succeeding at that, or that I could succeed at that. So there was almost like, no, it's not quite a high enough goal for me. And of course, what that, you know, I mean, I could be stuck in the fashion industry, and instead that caused me to look into art therapy and look in, you know, and really what's at the core of, does it bring me life, is in helping people transform their lives and sharing. I'm a teacher. This is the core. Add the teacher with the artist, the creativity, and that's it. Could I have done that in the fashion industry? Probably. But there was a sense of it wasn't a large enough dream for me. So I think that we can use those five questions to look at everything. And then, you know, when we talked about our intuition, you know, listening to that still small voice, that's a very important component. Is there something pulling me? Do I hear something calling me? Am I trusting my intuition? Is this my intuition? And that will lead us to our greater becoming. And we were never, never, ever meant to be static. This is, you know, to be content even. You know, in a moment, yes. And in a period of time, yes. And with what we have in our lives, yes. But to not continue to grow, you know, we don't grow taller. That's our capacity as far as our physicalness goes. But then our spiritual nature, our greater nature, that we have that plants and other things don't have, allows us to continue to grow in that way. So is this a step in the direction to see if that is your next step? Go through the five questions and you look at the five questions.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Here are two exclusive podcast listener offers. First, for a limited time, podcast listeners can work with Christy in person at a deep discount. Christy offers a unique coaching modality of her own creation that helps clients discover their own answers to where they're stuck and how to move forward. As one of her clients puts it, it always works. This transformative process is designed to help you identify blocks and create breakthroughs in your personal and professional life. As a thank you for listening to the podcast, you're eligible for a special discount. Normally $97 for a half-hour introductory session, podcast listeners get a $70 discount automatically applied if you use this link, masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. That's masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. And that link is in the podcast general description as well. Second, you can get the entire library of Mastering the Art of Life with PDF notes and worksheets for each lesson, plus bonuses at no cost at masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in, all one word, masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month-opt-in. That link is also in the general podcast description.